The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
Things off with our afternoon update, catching you up on all that has happened today. Sarah McGuinness is with me, assistant news editor with the Business Post, and Michael Kelly, journalist and former editor of the Irish Catholic. Happy World Book Day.
Happy World Book Day.
It's nice to start with some positive news, something nice to talk about.
Absolutely.
Isn't it?
Absolutely. And look, reading is so important for kids, and I love this initiative to give kids like the voucher to get money off books. And I know even a lot of bookstores have been offering books at €1.50 today, because, you know, growing up, I loved to read. I mean, it's hard to believe now that we existed kind of without phones and without being constantly connected to the internet. So I think being able to get away from screens and read a good book and get lost in a good book is just powerful for children in particular.
So you see them all going off to school today, dressed as this is what they
class.
Do, dressed as your favourite character. Mm. So lots of Harry Potters have gone into school, as you'd imagine. Lots of gowns with glasses and scrapes. My kids went in as jockeys from Ride to the Rescue.
That is class.
Nina Carberry's book. Yeah,
that's great.
They had to fight over a riding helmet this morning. Who got it? They might have to swap midday, maybe in the yard or something. Swap.
It's only fair.
It is only fair. Have you got a favourite book?
I do. Now, it's a kid's book, so it's not my favourite now, but I cannot let World Book Day pass without mentioning this. And this is kind of a choice that, do you know those maybe like TV shows or movies or books from your childhood and you're kind of like, am I the only person in the world who remembers this? Because I cannot find them anywhere now. But the Geronimo Stilton books, so good.
Lost. Tumbleweed.
You don't know what they are.
Don't know what you're talking
about.
Oh my
God, I thought you both knew. And I was about to be like, I found my people. No, so basically
some Native American cheesemaker. That's what I would guess about Geronimo
Stilton.
So
it's like just this really deadly little mouse. No, it's this little really deadly little mouse and he just gets up to all sorts. But there were hundreds of books. I had this primary school teacher and we got into third class and I was in a mixed primary school. So all the lads kind of came in and we were in like a senior school now. So like we all kind of thought we were really cool and they came in and she humbled us real quick. She said, you're not cool. Geronimo Stilton's cool. So she essentially kind of brainwashed this like really, I would say quite headstrong group of young boys into thinking that this little mouse that wears a trench coat is the best thing to ever happen to the world. And it stayed that way for about 2 years and then they went off and became teenagers. But cannot go, like, they are fantastic. There are hundreds of them. I think it was originally published in Italian or something. If you're looking for something to get your kids into, like, I actually stand over the fact that it is objectively very cool.
All right. Michael, you can't pick your own book.
I know.
Should have set that parameter out very quickly.
I'll leave that out. I'll bow to humility. I was saying this to a friend at lunchtime. We're going to be talking about books. And he said, well, you're such a square, you'll probably say the Bible. So I'm not going to say that the Bible is my favourite book. My favourite book probably is, and this changes, probably Man's Search for Meaning, Viktor Frankl's book about his experience in the Nazi death camp. And actually just about how to survive that. Because I actually think it's just really good in terms of resilience and being able to cope with really dreadful circumstances. I mean, look, obviously the vast majority of us thankfully don't face those kind of circumstances, but I think there's useful advice there in terms of the knocks that come every now and then in life. The other one though that I read absolutely every year, I read every summer religiously, is The Catcher in the Rye.
And do you? Yeah.
I think somehow maybe I haven't got over that teenage angst or something, so I like to return to it every year. So yeah, every year on holidays I read it and tend to see something new in it as well.
I'm going to recommend as a kid's book, a book that actually surprisingly as a kid's book has something in common with Man's Search for Meaning, I Am David by Anne Holm. It is just an amazing, amazing book. Do you know it, Sarah?
No, is it a picture book?
12-year-old who, with the help of kind of prison guards, escapes from a concentration camp. It's vague enough, the detail in it, that makes it kind of kid-friendly.
Yeah.
And there's a sense of... there's this sense, I can't remember that movie a few years ago whereby there was kind of a family in the concentration camp and the dad went to these great lengths to kind of pretend it was this, like none of it was real for the kids. Anyway, people at home now would be kind of screaming what the answer to that is at the radio. But there's an element of that in it, you know what I mean? That, you know, you're never really aware. As an adult, when you read it, you understand much more the context. As a kid reading it, there's a sense of a kind of a boy's own adventure about it.
Oh, wow.
But it's a brilliant, brilliant book, I Am David. So listen, we're going to be talking a little bit later, well, actually about kids' books. We'll have more recommendations and we are going to talk about how to maybe encourage reluctant readers to pick up a book as well. You know what? I'd love to keep talking about books. What book are you reading at the moment, Michael?
I'm reading a new book about the life and times of Martin Luther King Jr. I can't remember the author's name at the moment, but it's really good and really insightful. And what's fascinating to me is to realize, depressingly, that so much of what he spoke about, so much of what he worked for, so much of what he dreamt about, to use his own words, is still unrealized in America. I mean, America is still a country deeply, deeply divided by race, where the African-American community is still deeply discriminated against by every kind of socioeconomic measure. They're not doing well at all as a community. Obviously, there are exceptions. So that's what I'm reading at the moment, and really fascinating because I'm, you know, a huge, huge fan of his. I grew up in the North and kind of during the Troubles in the kind of 1980s, early 1990s. And of course, John Hume was a great kind of hero, and he was always quoting Martin Luther King Jr. in terms of, you know, human rights and injustice.
Sarah, what are you reading at the moment?
I'm reading The White Album by Joan Didion. It's like a collection of her essays.
Okay.
I find it so hard to get through a novel nowadays, which is really embarrassing to admit. I find it really difficult. So I'm loving like a little short story collection, a little collection of essays, very digestible.
The White Album by who?
Joan Didion.
I actually think it's really difficult for journalists to enjoy books, you know, because we read so much for work. You're used to just consuming a book because you need to interview somebody about it.
I know.
So I do think that it's easy as a journalist to lose the art of reading for pleasure.
Dominion by Tom Holland. Oh, did you read
wonderful. It? Oh,
I'm reading it at the moment.
Fantastic.
I'm only about in the second or third chapter. Ah. So we're I don't think we've even reached the birth of Christ. Anyway, it's a great, great book.
Super.
I would recommend
Beautifully
it
written.
As well. Yeah, and a great historian. Listen, let's talk about kind of matters more contemporaneous than kind of the Assyrian Empire, which is where I'm still at with Dominion. Eamon Ryan is meeting, well, in the next 15 minutes, Sarah, is that right? With
in the
Michael O'Leary.
15 minutes, he is probably pulling up to Ryanair HQ with very mixed feelings. But yes, for the first time in his 4-year tenure as the Minister for Transport, he is meeting Michael O'Leary after a very public and passive aggressive, what really can only be described as pen pal type relationship between the two of them. Like, it has been, my inbox has been full of open letter from Michael O'Leary to Eamon Ryan, open letter from Eamon Ryan to Michael O'Leary. They email each other, guys. Email each other. But anyway, today they have the chance to meet face to face. And yeah, I would kill to be a fly on that wall. Obviously, there's been a lot of tension between the Department of Transport and Ryanair over the Dublin Airport passenger cap. The DAA want to increase the passenger cap by 25% to 40 million passengers per year. Ryanair are really behind that because, you know, it would mean a lot of growth for them. They like primarily operate out of Dublin. A lot of their flights operate outside of Dublin, out of Dublin. So it would really be like, it would give them a great boost and a great opportunity. But obviously, you know, there's this kind of debate going on about the environmental and the economic implications of both, because if you do it, the economy soars, but the environment suffers and vice versa. And Eamon Ryan has obviously taken the side of the environment, which we would hope for the Minister of Climate and Environment to do. So anyway, after months of showdowns, Michael O'Leary posing in front of a picture of Eamon Ryan with a little dunce cap on him, it's finally culminated in this meeting. And yeah, Lord only knows what they're going to get up to. So they're meeting at 4:30. There will be a press conference, a brief press conference, and I imagine it will be very, very short. But Eamon Ryan will probably be run ragged, realistically, coming out of it. So yeah, they're going to speak to the press shortly afterwards and then hopefully move on from this whole argument. And just,
they're speaking to the press together?
I don't know. Eamon Ryan's definitely speaking to the press. I'd be surprised if Michael O'Leary was speaking to the press, but I'd also be surprised if he doesn't have a few words to say afterwards.
Waiting in the wings with his cardboard cutouts of Eamon Ryan with the dunce hat on while Eamon Ryan is speaking in front of him.
Imagine they both walk out
situation.
With the dunce hats on. Imagine it's been a big joke this whole time and they're really the best of pals.
Michael, this comes, look, as soon as there's an update from that meeting, we'll bring it to you. I mean, it comes on the same day. So we learned that the operators of Dublin Airport have been fined the Irish Aviation Authority, they fined Dublin Airport 10.1 million quid for not meeting targets on cleanliness, information on transport, you think that'd be fairly fundamental, and security queue times last year. So listen, you were in and out of the airport
relatively
recently, certainly until kind of recent troubles boiled over in the Middle East. I mean, how does it compare to other airports? It's not that bad, is it?
No, I would say now it's much better. The early part of last year, it was really terrible. I mean, it was like going into an airport in some underdeveloped country. I mean, the bathrooms, for example, really were terrible. They were not being cleaned regularly. You had like overflowing bins. And, you know, this was in the middle of the day. This was not kind of at the end of a really, really busy day in the airport. And I think part of the difficulty was, and I think at the time DAA, they conceded this, that during COVID, they had let so many people go. So many people had taken voluntary redundancy packages. And then actually, in this part of the world, at least, COVID lifted relatively quickly in the end. And it took them a long time to get their capacity up again. The security screening, there were obviously issues around that as well, because these random tests that are done by European aviation officials, the Dublin airport actually failed a few of these tests in terms of security screening. So that meant that more intensive security was necessary. But certainly recent times in the airport that I've been through it, I think it's looking really well, getting through it very, very quickly. They're opening a lot more retail outlets, because this really has been one of the big developments in aviation in my lifetime, really, that they've actually turned from being airports, which used to be just like large sheds where planes landed, to actually shopping malls now.
Yes.
And so much of the money is made actually in shopping and eating. So they're multi-purpose venues now.
Life is Beautiful was the movie I was trying to remember earlier. That great Italian movie from about, God, it must be nearly 20 years ago now.
About that, yeah. La Vita Bella, yeah.
15 beautiful. Years ago. Anyway, that was just one of the kind of subplots in the movie. It is a great movie. We recommend. We recommend all those books as well. Unfortunately, listen, we're out of time. There's more that we could be talking about. We will have you both in again soon for the afternoon update. Sarah McGuinness, Assistant News Editor with the Business Post. Michael Kelly, journalist and former editor of the Irish Catholic. Stay with us.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.